The following is the class in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 24th chapter, text number 1, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on December 5th, 1993, at the Longdonville Temple in Trinidad.
Translation. Maharaj Parikshit said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is eternally situated in His transcendental position. Yet, He descends to this material world and manifests Himself in various incarnations. His first incarnation was that of a great fish. O most powerful Shukadeva Goswami, I wish to hear from you the pastimes of that fish incarnation." Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-powerful. Yet He accepted the form of an uncommon fish. This is one of the 10 original incarnations of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastatali Satarani. Matsya is described here as the first of the 10 original incarnations of the Lord. In the song Das Avatar by Srila Jayadeva Goswami, the Matsya Avatar is celebrated in the first stanza. Prabhupada used to like to sing this song from the Gita Govinda. And there are some tapes of him singing it. Pralayapayori jale jitavan asivedam vihitavahi chacharitam akedam keshava jita meena sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare Pralayapayodi jale drittavan asivedam vihitavahi tracharitam akedam keshavadrita meena sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. Here the word meena means fish, and matsya means fish. So this is translated, "O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a fish, all glories to you. You easily acted as a boat in the form of a giant fish just to give protection to the Vedas, which have become immersed in the turbulent sea of devastation." Of course, the ordinary person will think, "Oh, this is just mythology. How could God be a fish? This is ridiculous." But first of all, what did they think God is? That He should not be a fish. And then also, what kind of, if we say fish, what kind of a fish was He? He was not like some fish caught by the fishermen here in this world. We use the word fish, but it's some extraordinary personal form. So actually, even people who practice religion don't have much of an idea of what form God should have, or does have. So they have an impersonal idea of God. Whatever material forms we have, God must not have a form like that. He must be spiritual. So He has no form. This is their negative way of thinking. And if actually you practice religion and you don't become interested to hear about the many forms of God in which He appears in this world, avatars, then that religion is actually useless. That's stated in the Bhagavatam. Dharma sunustitak Pumsam Vishvakshena Katasuya Not Podiya Yorivatim Shrama Evi Kevalam. If you follow the rules and regulations of your religion, whether it's in the Vedas or in the Bible or Quran, and you may follow those rules very strictly. But then, what is the goal of following the rules? Then you may say, well, my goal is that I will get liberation, or that within this world I will get many good material things. I will not go to hell. So many goals we may have. But the Bhagavatam says, the goal of practicing Dharma should be that you gain attraction for hearing about the personality of Godhead. And if you don't, then it's Shrama Evahi Kevalam. It is useless activity. Therefore, the Bhagavatam gives us the opportunity to hear the different incarnations, starting with Matsya, so that we gain attraction to how wonderful God is, Krishna or Keshava is. Actually, we learn that Krishna is the source of all these incarnations. So this was the first incarnation, and we should be eager to hear about it. If we have any confusion that how God could appear as a fish, that will be cleared up as we hear. And even Maharaj Parikshit, he was not doubtful, but he certainly wanted to hear. I wish to hear from you the pastimes of that fish incarnation. But he wants to know, why did the Lord take this form? There must have been some reason for this particular form. He had some pastimes in mind for which it was suitable that he take this body. What kind of a form was it? Please tell me. What were his activities? So then, as we hear about the Matsya avatar, we learn that there are actually two different times when he appeared. The same thing is true of Varaha, the incarnation of the Lord as in the form of a hog. One time he came to save the earth planet when it was thrown into the nether regions, the lower half of the universe in the water. And another time he came to kill the demon Hiranyaksha. So Matsya came two times. One time there was a demon named Hayagriva, and he came to kill him and to save the Vedas, which were in danger at the time of inundation or flood. So he took the form of the fish suitable for dealing with the inundation, so he could float and save the Vedas. Then another time, which is described in this chapter, he came to appear before his devotee Satyabrata Muni and give him good instructions. This is why Krishna comes. These two reasons: Parichanaya Sadhanam Vinishaya Chidiskritam Dharma Saram Sapanartaya Sambhavam Yuge Yuge. I come to give solace and good instruction to the sadhu, protect him, and to vanquish demons like Hayagriva. So, Satyabrata, he was a great sage, and he was performing austerities, fasting, and he was sitting in a sacred place. So as part of his meditation, one day he was doing Achman. And just like we also do Achman for the artis, with just a little bit of water in the spoon. So he was putting the water in his palm, such a small amount of water, and in that water he saw a little tiny fish. So he threw the fish into a little pond. But then this poor little fish spoke to him and said, my dear Muni, you've thrown me in this little puddle, but it is not suitable for me. And then the fish grew so that he was not comfortable in the puddle. It was too small. So Satyabrata did not realize at this time that the fish was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he performed Agyata Sukrita. He thought, this is very wonderful. This little fish is talking to me. And he was compassionate, and thinking I should kill the fish. Yesterday, stayed overnight at Baladev's house. In the morning, I heard a car going by, and it was a big amplified sound. Fish. He was saying, fish. So such a man, he just sees a fish as something to fry and to sell to make some money, not knowing that actually this will cause him great suffering in the next life. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking, a morning walk in the United States near a lake, and a man was out there fishing, and some kind of perverted friendly gesture to Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came by, he held up some of his fish and he offered one. He said, would you like a fish? And Prabhupada said, no, thank you. He said, you keep, you enjoy. And then he walked, as they walked by, then Prabhupada said to the devotees, you and you suffer. Sometimes people think, even, oh, we don't eat meat, we're vegetarian, but we eat fish, it's all right. Why? The fish also are living entities and they suffer, and they should not be killed. So Satya Brata, he did not know this was the Lord, but he was a non-violent, compassionate, and he wanted to do a good turn to this fish. So he said, yes, I'll give you a bigger pond. And so he picked him up and put him in a bigger pot in his home. But in the morning, then the fish said, this is also, I've outgrown this pot. I've taken shelter of you, so you please give me a better place to live. Then he put him in another lake, and then he became very big, and the lake was too small. He said, put me in a bigger lake that won't get smaller. Again he put him in a bigger lake, and then finally he put him in the ocean, and still the fish swelled. And then Satya Brata realized, just by the extraordinary expansion, that you must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appears in many forms, and so now you have taken this form. So he's not a fish. No fish can do that. Can speak, can expand, and what to speak of everything else he then did. He then instructed Satya Brata that you have been very kind to me. Now I must inform you that very soon is the time for the flood or the inundation. There are different kinds of devastations to the earth, planet, or to the part of the universe, or to the whole universe. Sometimes it occurs at the end of Brahma's day, or even within Brahma's day. Sometimes Brahma takes a nap in the middle of the day, and that causes a devastation. And then at the end of the day, he sleeps for the night, and that causes a major devastation after that. And then when he dies, so at each time, what people roughly call the end of the world, or the like that, the destruction of the world occurs. So it usually occurs by a lot of flooding, and then drying up of the earth, and fires break out everywhere. All living entities perish, and they're wound up in the body of Mahavishnu. So he said, this is coming very soon, a flooding, inundation. So I want you to be saved from this. I will send a boat for you, and then you should gather together creepers and herbs to save them. And you go on that boat with all the different sages and munis. There'll be no light available at this time. It'll be darkness. But by the illumination of the sages, you'll be able to see. And so Satya Brata, he just completely trusted the Lord that this would happen. And it did happen. The boat came. He got on. He had gathered the herbs and the munis. And they went on the ocean. And Matsya also said that when we're on the ocean, there will come big waves. But don't be afraid. I will come then in this form, a gigantic fish. And on my horn, I have a horn on the back of my, on my back, you should take a rope and hook your boat onto there. And then you'll be safe. So this was his proposition, and he did this. And then when they were floating on the ocean, Satya Brata made some nice prayers to the Lord, and the Lord in return instructed him and the sages in Krishna consciousness. But we can also study these prayers to understand more about him. In a number of the verses in the prayers of Satyabrata, he addresses Matsya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the guru of all gurus. One time he calls him the guru of gurus, and he calls him the supreme guru. And verse after verse he makes this point about the spiritual master as the way to understand Vedic knowledge. And in the purports, Prabhupada, he talks about the different kinds of spiritual masters. So the Lord himself, he's the ultimate spiritual master. Spiritual master means one who has seen the truth, or one who has spiritual knowledge. So who is a better guru than the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And whatever bona fide guru is coming to us, he must be connected as a representative of the original guru. But he must never say that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, something I saw here yesterday, when Baladeva was taking me in the car, there was a newspaper on the floor of the car to keep it clean. And I looked down, and there was a picture of one famous Baba. And it said, quote of the day from this man. And it said, "I have come to this world to bless the world and deliver the world with my supreme blessings, and everyone who follows, they will get a spiritual perfection." It's so outrageous, just speaking as if he is the Supreme Personality of God. "I have come into the world." I have not been in touch with these kind of rhetoric. So I was just surprised that it would be put in the newspaper as some quote of the day. It is it should be called rascal quote of the day. That an ordinary man, and there was his picture, just an ordinary man, at best we can call him a sadhu, but a jiva nevertheless, saying, "I have come into this world as the supreme to give everyone blessing." So as Prabhupada said, as soon as somebody says, "I am God," you said, immediately reject him, immediately. he's already made the biggest disqualification. But rather, if someone is coming to give us spiritual knowledge, he should tell us right away of his connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as confirmed by the Shastra. Actually, the Shastra is the foundation or the medium. The Guru, he speaks with us in Shastra. The Sadhu honors the Shastra. So Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. And Shastra is not different from the Supreme. Just as Matsya came to save the Shastra. Because without the Shastra, we have no spiritual direction. And then people come and say, "I am the Supreme, I have come to give you the blessings." And as they're rascals, but anyone who accepts this, then he must be also very foolish to accept the cheating God. But Shastra is a different thing, spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the actual spiritual master, saintly person, comes in the cyclic succession of spiritual masters who worship and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and never say any nonsense like that, that everyone is God, or God is impersonal, or I am God. So the spiritual masters among the jivas, they're in two categories: instructing spiritual master and initiating spiritual master. These are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it's stated that there's one prayer to the Lord. "Oh my Lord, the transcendental poets and sages are always indebted to you because you come in two forms as guru to teach us. You come as the Chaitya Guru, the Lord in the heart, and also you appear as the instructing initiating spiritual masters, and one should not make any distinction between them." so sometimes people say, yes, I accept that God is the guru, so therefore and he is the supreme guru, so what is the need for any little guru of a human being? I will just surrender to God in the heart. That sounds feasible, but it is actually not. And one main reason is the Supreme Lord doesn't want us to approach him that way directly. He wants you to approach his representatives. And just to give an example, when Krishna himself comes as avatar, and his human form, human-like form as Krishna, he accepts a spiritual master. As Lord Chaitanya, he accepted a spiritual master. So they accept a guru to show humankind that you should accept a guru. Don't say you don't need a spiritual master. Krishna is not so easy to approach directly. So the spiritual master is more accessible, and he links us up to Krishna. But he also teaches us, my dear disciple, Krishna is in your heart. You should learn to hear from Krishna and follow his instruction. Under the guidance of these spiritual masters, we also learn how to listen to the Lord in the heart. If you read Srila Prabhupada's letters, you'll see many occasions he encourages his devotees. A devotee will write to him and say, how should we paint the picture of Krishna and the gopis? What about this detail? Okay. So Prabhupada would give some instructions that you should paint it like this, it should be this color, he should look like this. But then he would say, but anyway, what I don't tell you, you can go ahead and try your best. You are sincere. Krishna is in your heart. He will tell you what to do. Or devotees would write, how should we preach in this country? He said, Krishna will tell you what to do. So he would encourage us, certainly to follow his instructions, but by following his instructions, we could also learn to take instruction from Krishna in the heart. But if a human being, a spirit soul who comes to the human body, doesn't take advantage of these gurus, the guru within and the shiksha and diksha gurus without, then we cannot have knowledge, we cannot enter the transcendental realm. So there is some important instruction about guru tattva in the prayers of Satyabrata. Then the Lord was very pleased with these prayers, and then he went on to carry out all these pastimes as we've described. So we should never try to judge the pastimes of the avatar according to our standard, a human standard, but just accept what the scriptures tell us. Belief is the principle of knowledge in all fields. When I make a statement like this, that we should just accept what the Shastras say, some people will think, oh, this is not very intellectual idea, this is just you literally accept the scripture, this is fundamentalist, and so on. But what is their approach? How do they gain knowledge? They will say, well, we gain knowledge directly from our senses. We experiment to find out what is the truth. We don't just accept something. But the fact is that almost everyone does accept authority as the means of getting information. Prabhupada gave the example, and there are so many examples, like information about, he used the old word Sputnik. You know, when the Russians first sent up the satellites, he said, you get information about the Sputnik, not because you went there, or you get information about the moon, you haven't gone there, but you accept the newspaper or some scientific press release. You cannot confirm it by experiment because you're not qualified. So many things. And therefore, this most difficult to understand thing, beyond the senses, beyond all imperfection, what is the nature of God? How can you know by your experimental senses? You have to learn it from the authority. And as there are scientific authorities, there is authority in spirit, in God consciousness, which are the recognized scriptures of the world. Among those scriptures, the Vedas are the most ancient, authoritative. So in this way, we should never be intimidated by some materialist saying, oh, you believe what's in your scriptures? I heard you believe that God comes as a fish, he comes as a tortoise. This is obviously some story. Why? Because we've never seen anything like this. But what have they seen? Their senses are so limited and their experience is so limited. Just because they haven't seen is not the criteria. We should go on hearing Prabhupada's. We have this perfect presentation, the Shastra, and then Prabhupada's purport with all modern application. He's aware of all the atheistic doubts and confusions that people have about Shastra, so he explains it with logic and reason. The Prabhupada's books make us completely strong and fixed, and that nobody's misinterpretation will confuse us. Otherwise, it is impossible to live in this world and not get confused by all the different theories. Rupa Goswami, when he begins the nectar devotion, he prays that this nectar devotion could be protected from all the sharks and crocodiles that are in the ocean. And he's comparing them to the different speculators, different philosophers. They're like very dangerous aquatics. But if you stay in the boat of Shastra, and Guru Shastra Sadhu, then these different contending philosophies will not disturb you. He also compares speculators who are against bhakti to be like volcanoes that occur in the ocean. Although a volcano, when it's on the land, it's very tremendous explosion and very dangerous. But in the big depths of the ocean, such a volcano will be insignificant. So let them say what they will, that God cannot be a person, he cannot do this, he cannot do that. We will not be disturbed by these otherwise dangerous aquatics. I'll read the verse again, and then any questions. Incarnation was that of a great fish. O most powerful Sukadeva Goswami, I wish to hear from you the pastimes of that fish incarnation. So, any questions or comments?
How can you distinguish between the mind of the mind and the guidance of the Lord within the heart?
How can we tell the difference between the voice within, which is actually our own mind, or the dictation of God? That's a very good question, important question. Like Mahatma Gandhi, he said that he made all his decisions by listening to the little voice within, and he recommended that everyone follow this kind of religion. Of course, what he meant was not a bad idea. Like you should have if you're very truthful and honest, and you have a conscience, and you try to listen within. We could call it a shadow of the Supersoul, perhaps, that he was referring to. But he didn't have very scientific information, and therefore sometimes he listened to the wrong voice, and he himself, some of the things he did, they created so much chaos. And he said, I have committed Himalayan blunders as big as the Himalayas. I have committed Himalaya blunders. So if you listen to the wrong voice, you can commit mistakes. Once a devotee wrote to Prabhupada about that, how do I know if the voice I'm listening to is a super soul? And Prabhupada replied that at your stage of spiritual life, probably what you hear is not the super soul. You can assume it. Therefore, you should take instruction from the spiritual master outside, the guru. And he can confirm it. For, like Lord Chaitanya, posing as the disciple of Iswara Puri, he took his guru's instructions and began chanting Hare Krishna. And then he got all these dictations from within, from the holy name. And he felt so many ecstasies. But he went to his spiritual master. Actually, the holy name was revealing himself to Lord Chaitanya directly. But Lord Chaitanya, to set the example of the humble disciple, he went to his guru and said, "What is this?" He wasn't puffed up and said, "Oh, I'm feeling so much ecstasy. God is talking to me. God is revealing himself to me. Now I don't need my spiritual master." But he asked his spiritual master, "Is this something crazy? Or is this something spiritual? Please tell me. I don't know what it is. I have very strange symptoms when I chant." So in this case, his spiritual master said, "Oh, my dear child, I bless you. You're actually experiencing Krishna directly in his holy name. I'm very pleased with you." But Lord Chaitanya left himself open to be corrected. If the guru wanted to, he could have said, "No, don't believe in this." So, especially in the beginning, we need that training so that we can distinguish. Then the guru, he can ask us, "Well, what is the nature of the voice? What is it telling you?" And then eventually you become more trained to understand. You say the mind's demand, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. The mind is described like one of the materialistic senses that are demanding us. So when the mind is in that material function, it's saying things like, I want some gratification for my tongue, I want something for the belly, for sex, and now I want this, no, I want this instead. This kind of flickering mind based on sense gratification, that's not the super soul. So the super soul has particular characteristics, advising us to surrender to Krishna and to be a devotee. And the material mind is like the lower nature. So you can learn by experiencing Krishna consciousness. You'll start to distinguish, is all I can say. And even if it's not the Lord in the heart, at least you'll be hearing to the mind as your friend. The mind can be the friend or the enemy. So we don't want to listen to the mind when it's an enemy. But if our mind is our friend and is telling us, "Come on, get up early, chant your rounds, perform austerity, be kind to others," this may not be Krishna, but it's the mind as our friend. So that's very good. Then the mind is working in cooperation with Krishna. We cannot expect that we're going to hear Krishna's voice like Narada Muni did. That's a very advanced stage. But still, the mind as our friend can tell us what Krishna wants, and Krishna in his own way can also do that. In other words, Krishna doesn't have to speak words in a sentence, but the way things happen, we say, I think Krishna is trying to tell me something. Like Prabhupada, he tried to make business. He wanted to be a businessman and use the money in Krishna's service, but the businesses kept failing. Whereas when he tried to do something in devotional service, like to write or make a magazine, it was very successful. So anything he did for preaching, it came out wonderful. And when he tried business, it didn't come out. So we could say, Krishna is telling me something. So that's also Krishna talking in your life, saying, why don't you just give up that side and just devote yourself to me? Krishna can speak to us or communicate to us in that way. Or through the words of not only the guru, but a god brother or another devotee. We just have to be very eager to hear Krishna's instructions in the right place. Like Bilvamangala Thakur, he went to the prostitute and the Guru spoke to him through the prostitute. She said, you've gone through so much trouble just to come and see me in this night. If you had gone through the same trouble to be a devotee of Krishna, you'd be a great devotee. And all of a sudden, he had gone to her just for sense gratification, but her words of truth just hit him, and he changed his life. He said, you're right, that's the truth. Then I'll do that. I'll put my energy into becoming a devotee of Krishna. So you can hear God in the heart, and that's the highest interdictation. But also you can hear the words of the Vaishnavas and the Guru directly from their teachings, or even in the mouth of other persons, provided we're trying to hear. Take some good advice wherever. Chanaka Pundi says, you can receive advice even from an unqualified person. What is his example? You can take gold from a filthy place. You can take nectar, even if it's in a stock of poison. You can marry a qualified wife, even if she's in a lower caste. And you can take instructions, even spiritual instructions, from a Shudra, born in a Shudra. The main thing is not the outer form, but the quality of things. So we can take instruction as coming from Krishna, sometimes even from the birds and the bees, the dogs and the cats. See their different examples. The dog is loyal, and so on. But everything has to be done under the guidance of the regular standard sources of information. We at least should know the difference between right and wrong. And whether you're so fortunate that Krishna will tell you, do this, don't do this, or at least your own conscience should be able to tell you that I'm a devotee, I should not do this, I should do this. If you don't even know the difference between right and wrong, or you don't care, then who can help you? Even Krishna can't help you. If we come to devotional service, then we learn what is right and what is wrong. Whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness, that's right. Whatever is against it, that's wrong. And then, if you want to keep sharp intelligence, you have to keep acting on the right, doing what's right. And you get the dictation always. This is right, that's wrong. This is right, that's wrong. And every time that voice within says, this is what's good for Krishna, okay, then I do it. Then the communication gets finer and finer and nicer and nicer. But if when the voice within says, do this for Krishna, and you say, no, I don't want to do it, then Supersoul will use its other function and say, well, what do you want? So, oh, I want some sense enjoyment. Well, then why don't you go downtown and look for it, such and such a place. Remember your old friend who was in Maya, and you can get some intoxicants from him, and, oh, that's good, I forgot about that. So then you start getting your communication is dull anymore. And then Krishna, after a while, he's not even going to bother to tell you anything good. He just wasted on you. That's very unfortunate. If we come to Krishna consciousness and we start developing this sharp communication, the intelligence is strong, and then you get out of practice and you don't have a conscience anymore. Actually, demons, they don't have a conscience. It doesn't occur to them that it's wrong to kill a fish, to kill a human baby. What's wrong with it? That hunter, Magrari, had so much degraded that he would torture the animals and leave them half dead. And Narada said to him, my hunter, this is horrible karma. Don't do this. If you have to kill the animals, then at least just kill them. Don't leave them half dead. And the hunter said, what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with this. My father taught me this. So this is what we can degrade to if we don't pay attention to our conscience that has been developed. But then you'll be, if you do practice, then you'll be able to know the difference between the mind and the soul, super soul. Question? Yes.
In the Christian doctrine, there's a similar explanation about being audition. And now we're coming around about this pastime of the Supreme Lord appears, Matsya, and he's saving he's telling Satyavati Muni to get all the fruits and the sages and so forth into the boat. And Noah, that there was Noah in the ark, and he get all the seeds and herbs. And
yeah.
So is it that the Christian, they are trying to copy something from us, from the original source, original his original pastime, and they are trying to put something forward to make some attraction towards some spiritual element?
I don't think it's like some cheating, copying like that. It's just we accepted the Bible as a scripture that appeared at a different time in a different part of the world to different people, with the teachings of God consciousness very simplified. And so it's natural there'll be some similarities like that, that there was a flood and God chose his devotee and told him how to survive the flood and so on. So we don't have to make such a comparative study, but we can accept it on principle that the same thing is there in the Bible as is in the Vedas. But the Vedas is the original scripture and is told in much, much more detail. I heard somebody ask Prabhupada a question. I don't know if it was about Noah and the ark, but some other thing. He was trying to, you know, establish what is. Are these the same? Are they referring to the same thing? And Prabhupada said, "We don't. Why do you think that everything in the Vedic literature has to tally with the Bible?" He said, "You shouldn't make this demand." So, in a sense, it's not that important to us whether what's described in Noah is the same thing as Satyavrata Muni and Matsya. So it was kind of a warning for us not to get into that too much. So just accept it in general, in principle, that it's a God-conscious scripture. And it's interesting that there are some things that tally. But I think we have to be careful how far we get into it. Either, like you were sort of making a point to discredit the Bible. I don't think we want to discredit the Bible. But neither should we think that, oh, if I can prove by some kind of research that everything in the Bible is the same thing in the Vedas, then the Christians, they'll have a lot more respect for us. But there's no use really trying that, because ultimately you can't establish everything the same. They're not the same. And you'll just get confused, or the people won't accept it anyway. So we should stick with the Vedas, and when somebody brings up these points about the Bible, say, yes, that's very good, if they say it in a favorable way. And if they say it in an unfavorable way, that, well, we found something in our Bible and it's not in your Vedas, so the Vedas cannot be true, then we will not become under that influence either. Just listen to Prabhupada's tapes and books, and you see the perfect attitude towards the Christians. Not to always be favorable, but don't come under their influence as if we have to be proven by their book. Balde, do you have a question?
Someone has said it's easy to accept God as if you're not. But to accept an ordinary person in this world is more difficult because he's prone to make some mistake, and also he will not be able to know as the God knows. So it's easier to accept the God as a spiritual person. But
someone would say it's easier to accept God as a spiritual
person
because he's perfect, he's all powerful.
Right. But an ordinary person in this world,
yeah, yeah. Well, one answer is that you really have no choice, because you cannot make God as your guru. He's beyond the reach, beyond our reach. Until you become completely pure, you cannot sit down with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ask different questions and get instructions and everything. He reserves the right not to reveal himself except to very advanced persons. But he does reveal himself through his representatives. I think the main thing is what you're suggesting, that goes against the scripture, that idea that that we can't trust ordinary persons, we have to trust God. The scripture doesn't say that. The scripture says that you have to find the symptoms of a trustworthy person. But there are such persons, and God says, I have sent these persons into the world, like the Mahajans. So anyone who is coming in the line of the Mahajans, like Narada Muni and Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya, you check them out and see if they're teaching and behaving. And they don't have to be God. Or as Prabhupada says, I may be imperfect, I may be a fool, but whatever I say, I'm saying what Krishna has said. Like, so therefore you can accept my teachings.